Now, where are we going with this? Let's read St. Isaac's definition of prayer. Here's what St. Isaac says about, Isaac the Syrian says about prayer. And he is the great master of prayer. Prayer is the refuge of help, a source of salvation, a treasury of assurance, a haven and rescue from the tempest, a light to those who are in darkness, a staff of the infirm, a shelter in time of temptation, a medicine at the height of sickness, a shield of deliverance in war, an arrow sharpened against the face of his enemies. And to speak simply, the entire multitude of these good things is found to have its entrance through prayer. That's from homily number 8. So it seems that part of our difficulty in prayer is that we undervalue it. We don't think it's possible. St. Simeon the New Theologian says, when he was attacked by saying that it was possible for us to experience what the apostles experienced in his day. And many of the people in the church said, no, that can't be done. We can't do that. He said, you cannot say that. That's blasphemy. It's saying that the Holy Spirit cannot work in the same way. Yes, maybe it's more difficult. Maybe 2,000 years have gone by, and as elders of the Holy, many desert fathers have had visions of that people in our day would have a more difficult time. But never say it's impossible. Never say it can't be done, because that is blasphemy. Never say that we cannot experience the light of Christ within, that we cannot experience some of these qualities. Because why are we praying? Prayer is the conversation of man with God. So, what kind of mental state? You go back to that again. What kind of mental state is going to be needed if we are really to have conversation with God? Otherwise, we empty prayer of all meaning. If it is not to be a conversation with God, if we are asking God for things, we supplicate God for what we need. But beyond that, we are in a conversation with God. We are remembering God. Or we should be. Because that's what St. Theophan says. Why does he say that most of our activities that we call prayer are just the preamble of praying, right? Trying to warm up our hearts toward prayer? Why does he say that? Because true prayer is the piercing of the heart with a genuine experience, with a feeling, and that experience always begins as a feeling. And that's where we are relating to the ladder of prayer. Now remember the great saying of St. Mark, the ascetic, St. Mark the monk, when he said that the remembrance of God is suffering of heart, endured with the spirit of devotion. It's a very interesting definition. The remembrance of God is suffering of heart. Suffering of heart. It's something that we suffer, that we allow, and suffering in the sense of to allow, but also it's a sense of the brokenness of heart that we read about or that we say every single day in Psalm 50. That in order to remember God, our heart has to be in some way broken. And upon the breaking of heart, we are capable then of really praying. See, these great fathers are always talking about real prayer, true prayer, spiritual prayer, pure prayer. Is it all the same? No, it's not all the same. And that's part of lecture number 2. But, so, we have to recognize that there are not just kinds of prayer, types of prayer, but really what we are talking about and what Theophan is talking about and what the elders are talking about are the degrees of prayer. Theophan the Recluse in From the Art of Prayer. Prayer has various degrees. At first, it is only the prayer of the spoken word. But with this must go prayer of the mind and heart, warming it and maintaining it. Later, mind and heart prayer gains its independence, becoming sometimes active, stimulated by one's own efforts, and sometimes self-moving, bestowed as a gift. Prayer as a gift is the same as inward attraction toward God and develops from it. Later on, when the state of the soul, under the influence of this attraction, becomes constant, mind and heart prayer will be active unceasingly. All earlier temporary attractions now become transformed into states of contemplation, from prayer to contemplation. And it is at this point that contemplative prayer begins. The state of contemplation is a captivity of the mind and of the entire vision by a spiritual object, so overpowering that all outward things are forgotten and wholly absent from the consciousness. The mind and consciousness become so completely immersed in the object contemplated that it is as though we no longer possess them. So there he describes degrees of prayer. One other quote from, before we leave, St. Theophan. As we pass from without to within, we first encounter the powers of imagination and fantasy. Many people stop here, not realizing that they must immediately pass beyond this first stage. For if we work chiefly through our imagination and fantasy, we are not yet praying in the correct way. This is the first incorrect method of prayer. He's harking back to the Saint Theophan, Saint Silouan, Saint Simeon the New Theologian's three methods of prayer. The second stage on the way within is represented by the reason, the intellect, and mind, and in general, by the rational and thinking power of the soul. Nor must we linger here, but pass on. And gathering this rational power together, we must descend into the heart. If we linger, we shall become involved in a second incorrect method of prayer, whose characteristic feature is that the mind remains in the head, wishing by itself to direct and govern everything in the soul. Nothing comes of these efforts. The mind pursues everything, but cannot dominate anything, and only undergoes defeats. This feebleness from which our mind suffers is described very fully by St. Simeon the New Theologian. This second way of prayer can appropriately be termed mind in the head, in contrast to the third way, which is mind in the heart. At this second stage, while this mental fermentation takes place in the head, the heart goes its own way. Nobody watches over it. And so it is invaded by cares and passions, only with great difficulty comes to itself again. Therefore, he says, inner prayer means standing with the mind in the heart before God, either simply living in his presence or expressing supplication, thanksgiving, and glorification. We must acquire the habit of always being in communion with God without any image, any process of reasoning, any perceptible movement of thought. Such is the true expression of prayer. The essence of inner prayer, or standing before God with the mind and the heart, consists precisely in this. Okay. From this then, we can classify what Saint Theophan and the others are teaching in a way, in six steps, six or seven steps. There is one, oral prayer. Then two, mind in head prayer. Then three, mind and heart prayer exercised through one's own efforts. Then four, mind and heart prayer bestowed as a gift. In other words, effortless. Then fifth, unceasing mind and heart prayer. And then sixth, contemplative prayer. Now, this is probably a good time for me to offer two parenthetical remarks. One is, unceasing prayer, prayer of the heart, and the Jesus prayer are not all the same thing. There are distinctions between them. A lot of times we think they're exactly the same, that they're all the same thing. They are really three distinct elements that should come together. The Jesus prayer is really the prayer of the name. An unceasing prayer is a state. And the prayer of the heart is the place of prayer. Evagrius and other great fathers of the Philokalia are constantly talking about the place of prayer or the state of prayer. When they come together in the Jesus prayer is clearly because of the power of the name, because of the invincible power of the name, the Jesus prayer is the way to unceasing prayer, and it's the way to the prayer of the heart. But as Theophan the Recluse says in another place, he says, you can say the Jesus prayer as an oral prayer. As a matter of fact, we must begin to say the Jesus prayer as an oral prayer. These states are not to be jumped over. You cannot get to the prayer of the heart without going through oral prayer and mind and head prayer. And you can't get to prayer of the heart as a gift by anything you do. But if your effort is to struggle, and if you are showing God, you are showing the Holy Spirit, that you are making the effort, then He grants the gift. I was really cautious about this talk because I don't want to take prayer away from anyone. You know what I mean? Like what Theophan says, if you take oral prayer away from the second person, you take prayer away from him because that's what he knows. I don't want to take any prayer away from anyone. And I don't want to convey that because if you haven't experienced the prayer of the heart, that you are simply lost, you're not praying. This isn't true at all. In fact, Isaac the Syrian will say, in many different cases, and he is speaking to solitaries for the most part. He's speaking to what is the term in Syriac? It's idihaya. It means monk, but it means a solitary. So he's speaking to solitaries, and hermits and solitaries tend to. The reason why it's so dangerous and difficult is because they have left the Cenobitic monastery and with its rhythm and pattern of life, which is a holy thing, and which leads to theosis and sanctity, and they left that to do battle on their own, and hopefully they've done it with the blessing of their spiritual father, because there are hundreds of stories of people doing it without the blessing of their spiritual father or mother, and they get into trouble. And he is saying to them, who have, in a way, left the rules behind. But he nevertheless says that if you are doing this to avoid the rules, if you are simply slothful, you are being lazy, and as a matter of fact, you will be lost. So you don't do this to escape from the rules, and you don't do this to it is not a matter of denying the the virtue of oral prayer, or even of prayer of the mind. It is simply saying that you have to continue, that really the heart of it is your attitude, so that you recognize that you recognize to whom you are praying, you see. That if you are praying to God, that you have to go within. And that is, in a way, those first seven steps of the ladder are that learning to enter within, so that we can be raised up by grace to true prayer.